Okay, I'm not, okay, now I'm sold myself. Okay, we're back on. Everybody hearing? Hey, Andy Hawk hears me now. Oh, Andy Hawk hears me now. Thanks, Vito. We'll talk to you later. Okay, we are back, folks. Oh, with help from Vito, we are back. All I got to do is, that's all you ever do, folks. Just log out and log back in. Why don't I know that? Anyway, okay. Since Andy Hawk and T. Bodie are here, I know they were watching. Hawkeye Mike was watching. I'm pretty sure Brother Tommy was watching the game the other night, man. it was, I mean, it started out good for, I mean, it didn't start out good. It started out reasonably okay for Ohio State, and then it got brutal. The wheels fell off. I mean, yes, forgetting all the, okay, there were injuries for Ohio State. There was, you know, but really it's down to this. And Hawk and T, you might be able to do it since you're in this other way or whatever, but everybody that's watching, what the heck was with Ohio State's base defense? Indy Hawk, what do you think? Them going to a 4-4, that was just, I didn't get it. I just didn't understand that. So anyway, that's what happened in that game. College basketball rankings, yeah, pretty much the same. There's been a little bit of movement. Michigan has jumped Iowa in one poll. The other poll, Iowa's still ahead. But basically, the top five in the AP reads Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova, Texas, and Iowa. And in the coaches, it's Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova, Texas, and Michigan. Some notables. Michigan just absolutely beat the you-know-what out of Wisconsin last night. So that's going to drop the Badgers a few spots because they were number nine in both polls. Well, man, not anymore. Several teams have dropped out, and that's probably, you know, the Big Ten is going to do that to each other. They are going to beat themselves up these next couple weeks. I mean, it's just inevitable. You know, it really boils down to this. The strongest conference in the country is going to, you know, they're going to eat their own, so to speak. And that's, you know, it's going to be tough for Hawkeye fans to see any losses. From a conference perspective, you know, Michigan has the lead on us by a game, and worse than that, we only play them once. So, you know, that said, you know, where do the Hawkeyes maybe make that up? You just don't know for Hawkeye fans. Now, Michigan's a good team. They haven't lost yet. Everybody says Michigan hasn't played anybody. They really haven't overall. And they're, yeah, as Indy Hawk was just saying, we play them there in Ann Arbor. So that's not going to be any easy task anyway. So, you know, the rest of what's happening, though, you know, Gonzaga doesn't seem to have anybody that's going to challenge them. The ACC is way down. Kentucky, you know, in the SEC is not exactly lighting it up. So, you know, Big 12's got some good teams, Baylor, but, you know, Texas is good and really beat up on Kansas the other day. So there's that happening. But overall, boy, he says Michigan players getting paid helps them. I always say that about the SEC, mainly because it happens in the SEC as far as football. There's no doubt. I mean, they've just gotten better at it, and the NCAA has gotten worse at policing it. And the NCAA was compromised in an investigation a couple of years ago of Miami, Florida. So that kind of knocked things out, you know, as far as enforcement down the road. Now, LSU did a self-imposed bowl ban this year, but LSU didn't. It was 4-6. They weren't going to make a bowl, probably. Indy Hawk says NCAA needs a salary cap, but he's copying that from me because I'm the one who said the other day, I'm pretty sure both Alabama and Ohio State are under the salary cap going into Monday night's game. Look, talent disparity, yeah, a little bit, but not much. Ohio State recruits almost as well as anybody. And yes, they had some injuries and some coronavirus stuff. And that's another thing I wonder about, though. If you'll remember earlier in the year, Nick Saban had a coronavirus positive, and then suddenly he was back on the sideline. And he had a couple negative tests. And then he ended up getting it later, I think for the Iron Bowl. It brings the question, were teams, certain teams playing with coronavirus results? I mean, if a guy was asymptomatic, no, what the hell, play him, you know? I mean, was that happening? I don't know. I like to think it's not, but who knows, you know, especially if it was a senior. Oh, he's not going to be playing anymore anyway here. Why not? Why not go ahead and do that? Protocols, and that's another problem. The NCAA did not have uniform protocols for COVID-19 from conference to conference. It was a conference-by-conference decision. It reminds me, and Indy Hawk will remember this, as will Hawkeye Mike, as will T. Bodie. Back in like 1982-83, different conferences in basketball had different three-point lines. If you remember, in 1982 or 83, the North Carolina had like, even Sam Perkins was hitting three-point. They had like a 17-foot, 7-inch three-point line. Other teams had normal ones, or at least longer ones. Nobody had NBA, but they had, the Big Ten had the longest. But the ACC had a 17-foot, 7-inch three-point line. My gosh, Indy Hawk KB could run and dunk from 17 feet back in the day. I remember he could do it. You know, I mean, so that was, but there was no uniformity. Came time for the tournament, there was no three-point line. Well, that, you know, that on both ends of the scale, that hurt teams. So, you know, the same thing here with COVID. I mean, there was no uniformity from conference to conference. Oh, Indy Hawk, he wants me to clarify, only on a low rim. That may be, I don't remember if it was, that the rim was any lower, so. But, you know, anyway, uniformity, no uniformity of COVID protocols. Just really makes you wonder. And I'm not just saying the SEC. It could have been anybody. Were there any schools that did that? Hard to say. Oh, by the way, speaking of Michigan earlier, Rich Rod has a new job. That's right. Rich Rodriguez is the new associate head coach and offensive coordinator for the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. That's right. Rich Rod, remember, he was Ole Miss offensive coordinator last year. But he's going to be joining the Warhawks with Terry Bowden. Remember that? Terry Bowden, remember that name? Terry Bowden was the coach. He was an assistant in several different places. And he was the coach at Auburn when they went 12-0 in 2003 or 4. They were ineligible. They were on probation, SEC naturally. And yeah, West Virginia former head coach Rich Rodriguez. I think that's Vito in asking that. But yeah, Rich Rodriguez, former West Virginia coach and Ole Miss coordinator. Anyway, Terry Bowden is the head coach at Louisiana Monroe. Rhett Rodriguez, R-H-E-T-T, which will fit in the South, Rhett, is a quarterback at Arizona the past four seasons. He's transferring to Louisiana Monroe. Of course, Rich Rod was at Arizona for a few seasons. So Rhett Rodriguez is transferring to Louisiana Monroe to join the team for spring practice. Man, that's kind of... Anyway, Terry Bowden, remember that? He was the head coach at Auburn. They had an undefeated season, and then he had a season that went south, and before you knew it, they had 27 different reasons. Vito says, frankly, I don't give a damn. And suddenly they had 27 different reasons not to to fire him. It was, you know, like I said, in certain, you know, certain schools and places. NCAA chief sponge, Mark Emmert. Actually, he's not his title is president, I believe, but he's the chief sponge. He opposes the idea to separate FBS football bowl subdivision from the rest of the NCAA. Yeah, of course he does. Do you know why, Mark? I know why. Without the football bowl subdivision as part of the NCAA, there's really no reason for a high-profile NCAA, especially a commissioner or president that makes the kind of money that he does. Yeah, no kidding. He opposes it. Well, let's see what else. Cuddy Sark, a.k.a. Coach Sarkisian, Steve Sarkisian, has landed his first big commit as Texas coach. number 50 in ESPN 300, Armani Winfield out of Louisville, Texas. Wide receiver. Yeah, Tark the Shark is coaching, boy. He was the offensive coordinator for Alabama Monday night, and now he's the head coach at Texas. So, yeah, he's got him a big recruit. We'll see how that goes. And don't forget, he had all that available to him at USC, and it didn't exactly go well. But, yeah, so he's reeled in a guy. Here's a preliminary schedule, sort of, for the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, it's going to be a bubble. It's going to be all in Indianapolis or Indianapolis area. Vito will drink to that. Okay, so it's NCAA tournament. Still going to start the normal time. They have not said anything about reducing the field from 68 teams. Still going to be 67 games, which would indicate 68 teams. So, you know, it's going to the selection Sunday is still going to be March 14th. Final Four is still planned for April 3rd and 5th. No number of teams limitations yet. Indianapolis and the surrounding area will be the single destination. Venues are going to be Bankers Life Fieldhouse, which is where the Pacers play. Lucas Oil Stadium has two courts, but only one of them at a time would be played there. Hinkle Fieldhouse at Butler, Indiana Farmers Coliseum at Indiana-Purdue, Mackey Arena at Purdue, and Assembly Hall for Indiana. Those will host the first several rounds, obviously. Indiana Convention Center will be used as a practice facility. Indy Hawk, anything on that? You know what that's like or anything? Assembly Hall last hosted games for Indiana in 1981. Mackey Arena did so in 1980. Hard to say. I mean, remember, the NBA did their bubble. But they did it with, what, 30 teams, roughly? This is 68 teams. I imagine you have to spread them out a little bit. But again, what are they going to be the control factors? Another question, what will be the impact for selection criteria? Some speculated it'll end up looking more normal. I don't know what that means. But, you know, I imagine conference champions and, you know, they're going to use net rankings, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what will be utilized. The other thing that's been talked about, what about replacement teams? So you get 68 teams there. And East Waterloo Tech has a COVID outbreak the Wednesday before their Thursday game or maybe their Friday game. Do you bring in another team on late notice like that? Well, the other thing, what will happen to the NIT? What will happen to the other tournaments like the CIT? I forgot the other one. The CIT, the NIT, of course, and there's another one. Oh, the CBI. So what will happen to those, you know? Boy, you ask, will players wear masks? I know they showed Iowa practices earlier this year with players masked up during practice. There were, you ask about games, boy, there were 15,000. I was talking about this with Vito yesterday because we were looking online. We were talking back and forth. There were a little less than 15,000, 14,926 at Monday night's game. For, you know, that was outside and that was in Florida. That was about 20% of stadium capacity. Because that's what Florida was banking or was sort of going with as a guideline. Now, Vito points out there may not be any COVID issues because Dementia Joe will be president and he'll have it all wiped out by then. He promised he would. So, yeah, I don't know, boy. You know, whether it's kind of, I would guess, I hate to say fluid, but, you know, it depends on how widespread the vaccine is. Depends on what kind of treatment they have for, you know, if any treatment advances are made. I don't know. It's hard to say, really. Yet, what all the Brother Tommy would appreciate this one. It's hard to say. So there's a lot we don't know about, but the replacement teams would be a really interesting thing. I mean, are you going to forfeit games? I mean, in football, we didn't see any of that in football. You know, we didn't see teams getting forfeited in football this year. And frankly, that's what happened. That's why some of it, you know, as teams started to, especially a team like Minnesota that was having a worse year than anticipated, and Michigan, really. Michigan State, you know, they started opting out of games. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen here, if they're going to have replacements or if they're just going to forfeit them. Hard to say. They're going to, now, one of the things they've talked about is there have to be, there may, what's being discussed is 7 straight negative COVID tests before you can, you know, get into the system. You know, what other guidelines are going to, you know, I mean, again, fans, how many? There have not been decisions made on that as of the last time that this was updated. So NCAA Women's Tournament is expected to do the same thing. They are not looking at Indianapolis. They are looking at, I believe, Texas, San Antonio or Houston maybe, looking down that way, which makes sense because it'd be kind of hard to have, you know, everybody in the one place. That would kind of be maybe not work too well. Sort of a, yeah, this is, we'll save this for some poly sports. Let's get to politics. Why not? House GOP freshman from Montana, Matt Rosendale, he's calling for Wyoming GOP representative and conference chair Liz Cheney to resign her post. Now, he's not the only one calling for it. There are some others. I told you that, you know, the House had 10 Republicans break on the impeachment vote. And several people, there are 40 people that called for, reviewing or whatever. There are 40 freshman Republican congressmen that are calling for Liz Cheney to resign her position. 40. I gave you the names of the people. I'm going to give those names again in a little bit. But it's not just those guys. Representative Jim Jordan is also calling for Liz Cheney to resign. She's considered the third highest ranking GOP congressperson. She broke on this. Here they are. Here are the 10 that broke. I want it again. Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming, Representatives Peter Meyer and Fred Upton of Michigan, Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, David Valadao, or maybe it's Valadao, of California, John Katko of New York. Now, this is the one, this next one's the one that kind of surprises me. Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, Tom Rice of South Carolina, and Jamie Herrera Butler and Dan Newhouse of Washington. Now, I told you what Newhouse said. He said, a vote against this impeachment is a vote to validate the unacceptable violence we witnessed in our nation's capital. It is also a vote to condone President Trump's inaction. As I mentioned, and I'm saying this again because we didn't have sound. Correct me here, anybody in the chat room, or if you want to call in and talk and correct me. We've talked before, they have the Capitol Police. That's not run by the executive branch. The Capitol Police runs at the Capitol. They're not at the White House. They're not under the guise of the executive branch. The Capitol Police. And it was the Capitol Police that pulled aside those barricades. So what was President Trump supposed to do? He can't call out the National Guard just because. He has to be asked to call out the National Guard. So, yeah, this is just the duplicity here and the manipulation of information is just repulsive. And as Indy Hawk KB points out, I'm confused. I thought we defunded the police. Exactly. Exactly right. So add YouTube to the list of social media companies that are suspending or revoking access by and for President Trump. The suspension was announced late yesterday. They used the already tired excuse that the president incited violence at the Capitol that led to last Wednesday's 90-minute Okay, I'm not calling it. They've called it a riot. I'm not calling last Wednesday's 90-minute incursion. This follows moves, of course, by Facebook, Twitter, others that I don't care about, Snapchat and some of those. Later in the show, I'm going to tell you exactly what the president said that alluded to in any way, shape, or form anything at the Capitol. The reason that YouTube cited, among other things, threats from advertisers to stop advertising if YouTube didn't pull Trump's channel. Oh, perfectly said, boy. We didn't defund the police. We just gave the funding to the thought police. Folks, you have just heard. It's early in 2021. It's only the 13th day. So you've got 352 days to top that. You have 352 days to top what Boyd said. Absolutely perfect. We didn't defund the police. We gave funding to the thought police. That must Bree Boyd points out the president could go to MySpace. Yeah, maybe that's an alternative. Why not? Boy, I don't know if you're on Facebook or Twitter or anything. You've got to get that out public because that is perfectly said. We didn't defund the police. We just gave funding to the thought police. Oh, my God, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Vito, remind me of that. Next time we talk, we got to figure out a way either to get that into a meme on the site or whatever. We got to do it. In addition to these suspensions or revocations of President Trump's privileges on social media by big tech, Amazon got into the act, of course. They told social media site Parler, which although it's inhabited predominantly by pro-Trump / right / conservative / Republicans, it does allow all speech. It doesn't say anything. Oh, that's right. Boy says it's your guys. It's his. It's yours. We're not taking it. If you got to give us permission. If that's permission, we'll take it. They will no longer host Parler's infrastructure on the Amazon Web Services servers. That took effect last Sunday at midnight. Parler has filed suit against Amazon. All that in the aftermath of the occurrence, the incursion, as I said, I will not call it a riot henceforth. Facebook will now remove all references to Stop the Steal posted on their site. Indy Hawk points out, email, phones are next, Gmail, Android, Apple phones, etc. We're going to talk about that a little later, folks. We are going to talk about that a little later. Like I said, several companies have reacted to this rally by pledging to withdraw any donations or support to Republican candidates, while a few have pledged to stop all political donations. Among those pledging, BP, Facebook, Dow Chemical, Hallmark, Marriott, JP Morgan Chase, and then a real shock. I say that tongue in cheek, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. U.S. Chamber of Commerce hasn't been pro-small business since Herbert Hoover was president. Among those, Hallmark has actually asked Senators Josh Hawley of Missouri and Roger Marshall of Kansas to return campaign contributions it made. Note, candidates are not required to return donations. For those that say, oh, they can do that? No, they can make the request. They cannot require it. The candidates are not required. I looked it up. They're not required to return those. It really boils down to Hallmark is doing nothing more than grandstanding. Christmas is over, so nobody's going to be watching Hallmark for 10 months. So, yeah, that's what they're doing. On the Bill of Rights front, with regard to the Second Amendment, alleged incoming President Joe Biden stated that he will, quote, will defeat the NRA. I assume he means before February, because by February, alleged incoming Vice President Kamala Harris takes over. So he doesn't have much time if he says he's going to defeat the NRA. Vito asks, would it pay to get a landline phone again? Indy Hawk says, bingo. Boy, he says, absolutely. I'm going to talk about that, folks. I'm going to talk about some of this stuff. It's Indy Hawk. Indy Hawk's my age. Kamiella. That's what Indy Hawk calls her, Kamiella. Okay, Twitter's also suspended the accounts of Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn. Facebook has banned the group Walkaway. Remember the Walkaway? Some of us were on that. They've banned that group. In other words, if you post anything pro-Trump on most social media, you're going to face a potential ban. Note that Twitter shares had dropped almost 14% since their ban. Now, it did have a small bounce back today of like 1% or 2%, but they've lost, you know, at least 10%. And let's hope that continues. Jonathan Turley, who is not a conservative, although he does contribute on Fox News, so lefties think he's conservative. He is not. He basically had said before that this thing was not enough for impeachment charges. He said he did not call for riots. He does not call for violence. He says protesting election is not a call for violence, and that's not an impeachable offense. Duh. There's 232 people in the House that didn't get that message. Oh, here's some nice news. This made page 12. Actually, I got this off the Epic Times. I wouldn't have gotten it on any other news source. Barbara Boxer has canceled her plan to lobby for a sanctioned Chinese company. No lie. Barbara Boxer. This is unbelievable. She had registered to lobby for a Chinese firm last week, but she decided to deregister a mere hours after her registration was reported on. Why? Due to the intense response to my registration, I have determined that my continued work has become a negative distraction from my effort to preserve American jobs. Therefore, I have... Are you kidding me? She actually got away with that? Yeah, she registered as a foreign agent for Hikvision USA, which is a subsidiary of a Chinese surveillance company that has been sanctioned by the U.S. government. Hey, Annie, welcome to the room. Hikvision was accused of involvement in human rights violations and abuses targeting Muslim minorities in Xinjiang, China. Hawkeye Mike points out Turley is definitely a liberal. He's just an honest one, which is rare, absolutely rare. So, yeah, Turley says it wasn't. You know, Newt Gingrich has spoken out. Department of Commerce in October 2019 announced a restriction. But Boxer still registered. She is a former senator. She's not a sitting senator. Not that makes it any good. But yeah, she's finally pulled out after she was called out on it. Samantha Power, remember her? She was the one who asked to unmask General Michael Flynn. First, she said she didn't recall it. She later said she may have done it once. Of course, records later revealed she did do it. Yeah, she asked seven times to demask or unmask, reveal Michael Flynn. No big deal, though. Alleged incoming President Joe Biden has nominated her to head USAID. Good God, where in the hell is our media? Where in the hell are any GOP House and Senate members? Better question, where the hell are Democrat members of the House and Senate? Do they not understand? This deep state cover, this is just deep state cover for the Obama administration continued. Biden's team regarding the announcement called Power, I quote, a crisis-tested public servant and diplomat. Basically what that means is that rather than doing the right thing and bringing to light unethical or illegal activity that she witnessed or took part in, she's covering up for Obama, for Biden, for the rest of them. That's what a crisis tested. Are you kidding me? A crisis tested public servant and diplomat. They actually said that. God. Some poly sports news. NCAA has delayed their vote on athlete compensation rules. Really, this boils down to either A, they're waiting for Congress to do it, or waiting to hear what goes of Cory Booker's thing of requiring revenue sharing at the college level, which really means basically stealing from college football and basketball. That's what it means. It has nothing to do with other sports, so much for equity. They also delayed votes on transfers. Basically, they say we will pass name, image, and likeness, and we will deregulate transfers. That is going to happen. There's just more information gathering that has to happen specifically from the Department of Justice. Holy crap. When the NCAA is coming out and saying that they're waiting for something from the Department of Justice, yeah, tell me college sports aren't in trouble. Big trouble. Oh, I could quote Jack Nicholson from Once Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but I'll edit it this way. Koufax is in big freaking trouble. Yeah, the NCAA and college sports are in big freaking trouble if they're talking that. Something being discussed in the chat room, and I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to an email because I have an article on it. Talks about some foreign leaders. Now, normally, foreign leaders aren't real big on outright praise of the U.S. They're not really big. Some of them aren't really big on really even on supporting President Trump. Some of them are. The good ones are. But some top foreign leaders have spoken out on what Big Tech has done, what Big Tech is doing. I'm going to pull this up. I'm pulling this. I'm reading it from the Epoch Times. I'm not going to read Fox News's version or AP's version or USA Today's. Basically, the Epoch Times, you're going to hear fact. Basically, political elites worldwide, it says, have criticized Big Tech companies for banning President Donald Trump from their social media platforms. At present, the president has been banned from Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Snapchat, Reddit, and Instagram. Twitter permanently removed Trump's account, saying that his recent posts were in violation of the glorification of violence policy. I'll bet Vito or Al, with their eyes closed, could pull up 20 tweets from left-leaning or Islamic-leaning or quote-unquote progressive types that glorify violence. Would that be right, Vito? Would I be right on that? I would guess easily. So Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany called it problematic. Said freedom of opinion is an essential right of elementary significance. She said this fundamental right can be intervened in, but according to the law and within the framework defined by legislators, not according to a decision by the management of a social media platform. Members of the French government? The French government? Yeah, Vito says easily, by the way. Vito says he could pull those up. Maybe we'll ask for those next week. Members of the French government agreed. Now, Hawkeye Mike is on the phones. He's not in the chat room, but I'm sure Hawkeye Mike could pull up over the years hundreds of references of the French government disrespecting us at every turn. So here we have French government members are shocked that a private company would do this. Said this should be decided by citizens, not a CEO. Says it sounds like there needs to be public regulation of big online platforms. French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire said that tech giants are part of a digital oligarchy that is a threat to democracy. Never mind the fact that America was founded as a republic. It's whatever. Too many people don't know that. But what's a digital oligarchy that is a threat to democracy? That's coming from someone in France. Man from Weber, the leader of European People's Party, a center-right party, echoed those, said we cannot leave it to American big tech to decide how we can or cannot discuss online. Today's mechanisms to destroy the compromise, searching, and consensus building that are crucial in free and democratic societies. We need a stricter regulatory approach. Wow. Norway's left-wing Labour Party leader, his name is not Gehr, by the way, for those that understand that. His name is Jonas Gahr Støre, said that big tech censorship threatens political freedom around the world. He says Twitter needs to apply the same standard globally that it did to Trump. This is a line where freedom of expression is also at stake. If Twitter starts with this sort of thing, it means that they have to go around the world and look at other people completely astray and shut them out. The Australian government called it censorship. Frydenberg, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, I believe, of Australia, he says, I'll quote Voltaire's famous line, I may not agree with what you say, but I defend the right to say it. Man, what does that tell you, folks? People around the world. Okay, Mike, he caught my reference there. Boy says it best, maybe. True CEOs have enough to worry about with diversity training. People who watch CNN and listen to NPR believe Trump is such an embarrassment in the world eyes that they're in favor of destroying him, and they don't get it. Leaders of the rest of the world. Folks, the Epoch Times, I just did a $1 subscription. It's for 4 months. You get their emails. You get, I think, once a month or once every couple months, you get their paper. It is a fantastic publication. It is about truth. It brings facts. It's a fantastic publication and a fantastic, like I said, just fantastic writers, fantastic opinions on there. Great stuff. 80% of Japanese say that the Tokyo Olympics should be delayed or canceled. That's in polysports for a reason. Because it's both sports and politics. It's going to be politics involved. Now, remember, I wasn't alive, so don't start snarking on me, folks. But you know, Olympics have been canceled in the past, during World War I, during World War II. The United States boycotted Jimmy Carter, if you'll remember, and then they reversed the boycott in 1980 on us, the Soviets. But even before that, 1976, the African National Congress, I believe, did not run in Montreal because of the South African presence. Boy says, if CNN doesn't report on it, it isn't true. No, it's if they don't report on it, it is true. It's reverse. If they don't report on it, it is true. If they report, it isn't. That's correct. Here's more polysports. Trump Club is no longer hosting a PGA event. Yep. Now, Comrade de Blasio has said that City of New York is going to cease all conflicts or contracts with Trump. But the Trump Bedminster in New Jersey, PGA of America, says the 2022 PGA Championship will not be held there. Yeah. Folks, this is the kind of stuff we're getting. This is the kind of stuff we're getting, people threatening to pull advertising. We're getting people just threatening whatever. This is what it's coming to. Tell you what, I'm going to take a quick break, just a quick one. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about some of the stuff that we can do about some of this. And some of the stuff you hear about it, when people say stuff like, it's their right, it's their platform. Sorry, not going to buy that one. So anyway, I'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. Take a quick break, folks. Yes, the music of Ennio Morricone, the film Once Upon a Time in America. The almost four-hour version of which is incredible. If you've only seen the Americanized 2.5-hour version and you didn't like it, there's a reason you didn't like it. It sucked. Poorly edited. Chopped to hell. Anyway, back. Okay, so here's what some of the people on the left are saying about Twitter suspension of Trump. They're saying it's their right since it's their platform. On the surface, you could say that. But here's the problem with that. The standard they use is not observed by everyone else. The standard they cited is violated routinely by groups like CARE, by other lefty groups, by people like Robert Reich, who call for erasure and expungement of Trump voters and supporters. That's inciting violence, folks. When people were calling for things to burn, Kamala Harris saying the riots will continue and they should. Yeah, those people, those things get posted on Twitter too. They say it's because Trump incited violence. I'm going to get to that in a second. The other one, they say, it's like the Christian bakers that didn't want to make the gay wedding cake. Here's how I respond to that one. If anyone remembers Christian bakers that didn't want to bake a gay wedding cake, got sued, got fined, got run up and down every administrative court. It was repulsive. So no, it wasn't like the Christian bakers that didn't want to bake gay wedding cake. They weren't allowed. They weren't allowed to get away with it. Now you could compare Trump to the gay couple that wanted a wedding cake, in which case you hated that they wouldn't bake the wedding cake, and so you should hate that they banned Trump from Twitter. Now they said he incited and encouraged everyone at the rally to riot. Another thing, and this was said, he tried to obstruct a free and fair election. Okay, on that last part, he didn't obstruct anything. There are over 400 sworn affidavits and witness statements of fraud in the election. Courts said stuff like, well, that doesn't necessarily mean it would change the outcome. How do you know unless you investigate fraud? I have said this from the beginning, and I will continue to say it. If you know of one fraudulent vote, then you must investigate the whole vote. It's not a matter of, oh, we'll just throw that vote out. No. If there's one fraudulent vote, it means the whole vote is susceptible, is suspect. It's that simple. Now, as I said, inciting and encouraging. Here's what we're going to get to. Here are the president's words as it relates to anything to do with the Capitol building. Now, there are three in his speech. And you remember last week I had my friend Rich on who was there. But there were three specific references. Here they are. After this, we're going to walk down and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down anyone you want. But I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. Next, I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Here's the last reference. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much. Thank you. How's that for inciting violence? Nowhere in that speech does President Trump call for violence or even entering the Capitol building, let alone obstructing the process. Don't let that stop the left from lying and pushing impeachment or banning free speech by conservatives. No, let's ban accounts and pages and groups and any posts that might make a theme of election fraud. Let's not ban groups that advocate eliminating, expunging, erasing, or whatever, any and all Trump voters. Let's allow Antifa and BLM supporters to use words like riot, destroy, attack, and burn. Let's let Nazis like Keith Olbermann and Robert Reich actually tweet and broadcast calls for all of that, along with Reich and a few others calling for a commission to review in order to expunge or eliminate. It was a planned walk to the Capitol, as Vito pointed out. It was a planned walk to the Capitol, not inside. Capitol Police let those people inside. So, how do we cope with or combat all this assault on free speech, on our values, our beliefs, ultimately our economic well-being? Boycotts, okay, I've said before, I'm not really a big fan of boycotts, or I never have been. I'm starting to wonder now. Don't go to events sponsored by these companies. Don't go to the JP Morgan Chase Arena if you don't want to. Don't buy merchandise associated with the events. And make it known. Make it known far and wide why you don't support something or why you are boycotting something. Yeah, talk to your friends, but get on your social media pages and say why. Flat out stop doing business with them. Do you really need what they sell or provide you? You know, is there a viable alternative? Vito asks, should you get a landline? Is there a scaled back version? Sure, cut the cord. If you know, a lot of people do that. I've cut the cord myself. But don't think that streaming providers or more importantly, the content they show is any less liberal or vociferously anti-freedom than the networks who partially own them. Yeah, cutting the cord's great, but you're not cutting the cord. You're leaving one tech giant for another. Okay, sure. Amazon Prime is great. Yes, they get stuff to you very quickly. Guess what? They also have no problem shutting down a company they don't agree with, in this case, Parler. So think about this. Before you decide to save $12 on a $150 chainsaw with Amazon, go check out what's out there locally. Yeah, it might be an Ace Hardware, which you'd say is a, you know, but even as a chain, most of those are locally owned or franchises. Ditto True Value. And believe it or not, there are still some parts of this country, local stores, local hardware stores that sell chainsaws or whatever. Ditto Food and Groceries. Yes, the sale at Kroger or Aldi or Trader Joe's or wherever is great. And I got to admit, Whole Foods sells Maytag blue cheese from Newton, Iowa, which I absolutely love. Guess what? Kroger pulled an investment last year from Lucky Markets. If anybody was familiar with Lucky Markets, it was a sort of a boutique market. Kroger was an investor. They pulled their investment, which basically shut the company down and cost almost 800 jobs. Kroger did that. The next time you sit there and say, well, they buy in bulk. No, Aldi's and Trader Joe's, by the way, aren't even American owned. They're owned by siblings, I believe, two different ownerships, but they're not American owned. Whole Foods. I know, we love Whole Foods, some of us. Like I said, they carry Maytag blue cheese. Guess what? Whole Foods is owned by Amazon. So yeah, look around. There are a lot of local produce markets. There are a lot of local dairies, local meat providers, even in 2021. So think about that. And revisit everything you buy or own or engage in. Do you really need organic produce or four-wheel drive? Why stay in a hotel if you can find an Airbnb or go camping or stay with friends and family? I'm not saying get rid of all this. I'm saying think about these things. Think about this. Let's just pretend I'm going to take the state of Texas just because it's big. Let's just pretend that every smartphone user on the Verizon network in the state of Texas said, screw it, I do not need a smartphone. I can get by with a flip phone, a Wi-Fi only tablet, and my laptop. Seriously, the money made on smartphone sales, apps, data charges would dry up overnight. I'm saying Verizon because they're huge, and I assume their corporate ownership supports Democrats more than they do Republicans, or liberals more than they do conservatives. But take any one of those. If 1,000 people in an area all switched back to flip phones, what would that do? Indy Hawk says it. 70 million voters can make a major dent in any company. Boy says, when you purchase products and services from big tech, you fuel the very free speech killing giants that you're against. Vito raises the question, how did NPR have the story of the Capitol being breached at 9:30 when it didn't happen until later? Yeah, I think it was 1 o'clock. He said 11. I think it was 1 o'clock. But yeah, how did they have that? Annie asked, where were the backup troops on standby? Why no National Guard when they were used in the recent past? Absolutely. And we know Capitol Police opened the door. Boy, there's no way I'm reading that one out loud. So think about it. If everybody did that, seriously, the money made on that would be. So do you really need the latest Android or Apple phone? You know, chances are your parents got along fine without it. No reason we can't. You know, ask potential vendors. If you're in business, ask potential vendors and providers who and what they support. Ask them why. Ask about company leadership. Ask for a track record. You have a right to do that. If people think, oh, I don't know, I can't ask them. Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. Find out who owns your insurance company. Chances are it's probably Warren Buffett or one of his cronies if you buy low-cost or cut-rate insurance. Think about organizations and club membership. Chambers of commerce have become notoriously elitist. Vito and I were involved in one years ago where one guy said, I think we should just get rid of that government action committee and then just have us have lunch with the city commission and our legislators once in a while, meaning the board of this particular Chamber of Commerce. Implying, of course, that he didn't want the regular membership at that. He just wanted to have private lunches with them. Now, this guy was a wannabe, and he was a climber and a fame seeker, all that kind of stuff. But still, that's what's in your Chambers of Commerce now. It's not people out there. Now, look, I get this part of it. Chambers of Commerce, those events that you go to, the big ones, they don't exist without the big companies that sponsor them. That's absolutely correct. People have brought that out before. That's absolutely correct. You don't have the big business expo sponsored by Ralph's lawn mowing service. It doesn't work. It won't work. But yeah, these groups, the NRA and the NFIB, in a lot of ways. Have become, from a national standpoint, less of an advocate for Second Amendment or private entrepreneurial endeavors versus being willing to compromise on gun laws or dismissing legislation that hurts small and private businesses, actually supporting it in some cases. What's the stance of your church? Again, church shouldn't be about politics, but what is the stance? What about your civic club? Are you in Rotary? Are you in Kiwanis? Are you in Lions Club? What's the stance of your leadership? What's the stance of the national leadership? Your district or your state or your regional leadership? What about your alma mater? I mean, several of us here that are in the chat or on phones went to the University of Iowa. Well, leadership, academia, doesn't tend to be conservative or constructionist or America preserving. No, your favorite teams. How's your coach vote? If a coach wants to let his players kneel, that's cool. Fine, whatever. But if a coach is outspoken, as Iowa's basketball coach is, twice. You know, and there's another side to this, too. When you're talking about your teams, people say, oh, people will still show up for the games. Well, you know what? If you cut the cord, didn't go to your team's games, but you went and watched them at your local sports bar, not Buffalo Wild Wings, not something huge, but your local sports bar, if you went and did that, you'd be supporting a local business. You'd still be rooting on your team, but you wouldn't be supporting big this or big that. Indy Hawk's telling me to shut up and dribble. Okay. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Before you do all this, remember this. Remember this. Before you just sell up and say, oh, you know what, Hank's right, I'm going to stop doing it. Before you stop going to even to Starbucks, if you've been going to Starbucks every day, before you stop doing that, think about what it means. And what I mean is this. It's going to mean, if you do these things, it's in the beginning, it's going to mean job losses for the average worker, sure. Poor long-term performance will get the cigar-smoking chairman of XYZ a kick out the door. But when everyone in your neighborhood decides to boycott the corner coffee chain, regular jobs are going to be the ones that feel it first at those places. So be careful in that. Do your research. Don't just assume a company's local office or employees feel the same way as their corporate ownership. Vito says, use a local divorce attorney. Yeah, don't go for those national ambulance chasers. No, do research. Don't just assume your local is in lockstep. You know, Starbucks, they may have people that work there at your local one that aren't raving lunatics and support your right to free speech. And support, you know, so don't always assume. Look, while people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates or sports team owners, et cetera, all have their hands on a lot of stuff, just because they own it doesn't mean it's always bad. Getting rid of certain things without replacing them is an example. If you say, all the insurance companies are, you need insurance. You probably need a computer. You know, you need a car. Don't get rid of your car because you found out that GM is owned 40% by the United Auto Workers and that Chrysler Dodge is owned 50% or 53% by the, don't do that. You need a car. You need a computer. But, you know what, it's important. Assess your needs versus your wants. I'll tell you, the last thing I would say is this. Do it with class, without rancor, without being a jack wagon. Mrs. Hank and I had to recently replace our AC in our furnace. We were uber tired of the company that had been coming out since last spring. We'd had some issues. We were still under warranty at that point. But they came out three or four times. It was a different person every time. They couldn't, you know, they kept not figuring out what it was. We were about $800 or $1,000 in at that point. Ultimately didn't fix the issue because then in November, after we were out of warranty, it went out again. They said, you need a new system. This is not working. Now, a replacement company came out, and looked and said, well, I'm not sure why they told you that, because this is working. It's not gone. Your circuit board's not gone, or whatever it was, your motor board. But this other company, the original company, they didn't fix the issue. They gave us new system quotes, and they gave us, it's going to run in this neighborhood. Well, then he ends up giving us quotes that are 20 to 40% above what he said was ballpark. He was wanting us to put all new insulation in and redo all our ductwork. So we went with a different vendor and a different system. We had a twice a year visit from the other company that we had just done, and we had that coming up, so I had to cancel it. You know, I was all steamed up and ready to raise hell and telling them, we don't need you or your semi-annual checkup. I was going to throw it in their face. I ended up just saying, look, we went with a different system. We went with a different vendor. And I left it at that. So we just felt more comfortable that way. And she said, to the woman that took the call, said, well, she sort of paused and she said, we're here if you need us, if you ever need us again. Because I've been on the receiving end of those other conversations. I know what it's like to lose a client, even an unreasonable one that has expectations that far exceed what they're willing to pay you. And when that happens, it affects the bottom line. It may affect companies differently, obviously, depending on size, but it's still a loss. Being rude and nasty about it is classless. My father used to say to me, never get mad at someone you may want to do business with. And I asked him one time, I said, how do you know? And his response was one word, exactly. You never know. You may get mad at T-Mobile and run off to Sprint. Guess what? As of last year, you're back with T-Mobile. You may decide never to bank with Giganto Bank again, or stay in Plushville Manor Hotel, or fly Elitist Airways. Guess what? Chances are you will. You'll end up getting bought when you go somewhere else. So when you have to end up flying again, or staying in a hotel again, or going through a bank, be able to do it with your head held high, not having to avoid someone because you acted like an ass toward them a year ago. Do it with a bit of class. I'm going to leave with this Laffy. Today's Laffy of the day. Vito's going to understand this. Hawkeye Mike's going to understand that. Anyone that saw Goodfellas will understand this. AOC was interviewed, and she said, we came close to losing half of the house, nearly dying during the riots. Now, Henry Hill was asked a different question, but I give Henry Hill's answer. Only the bad half. In other words, which half was it? If it had been the half that we wanted, maybe it wouldn't have been such a bad thing. Yeah. AOC comes up with this stuff, and she said, we nearly lost half the house during the riots. Oh, just a good half. Well, folks, we're up on time. Want to thank you guys for being here. T-Bodie was in the chat earlier. Holger was in earlier. Boy, bringing a boy. Annie's been in. Indy Hawk, Vito. Hawkeye Mike. Brother Tommy. Sister Barb on the phones. T-Bodie's also on the phones as well. It's been fun. And Mrs. Hank has been here as well in Hank Haven, the adjacent building to Electric Hankland Studios. Thanks for being here. Like I said, think about this stuff. Start thinking about which companies you really need to support. And think about getting a landline. Maybe not be a bad thing. I mean, we're tied to our phones all the time anyway. Okay, go Hawks this weekend. We got Michigan State. Keep winning, Hawkeyes. May your teams keep winning, those of you out there, and may your 10 congressmen that voted for impeachment, may they get primaried next go-round. Y'all have a good night. Have a good weekend. God bless. At all.